Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1207. This is your host, Danny Pena. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the previous episode of GTR. That one was scheduled because, you know, I just got married. I was in Vegas with the family and friends, and it was a great, great time. So thank you, everybody, for sending me messages on Discord, Twitter, email, everything, man. Thank you so much for all the support. And I'm glad that you guys enjoyed the last episode with Paris. Daily conversations, great conversation about Summer Game Fest that's coming up, Xbox Game Pass, etc. So this episode is a very, very important one. If you go back in the early days of GTR, I always try to get Reggie Fils-Aimé during that time. He was president of Nintendo of America, and took me like 10 years or so. And then finally, after he retired, he agreed to be on the podcast last year for the 16th anniversary of Gamertag Radio. That episode went very, very well. Everybody was talking about it. Got picked up by the media and everything. Stay in touch with Reggie and everything. Then recently, right before I got married, a couple weeks before, I got the message from GamesBeat, the GamesBeat team, and Reggie. They invited me to be part of a keynote fireside chat with Reggie about different topics. And I did it a couple of days ago, and that was like a dream come true. I never thought I was going to be on stage with Reggie doing that. And there was a lot of people there watching it. And we had a great, great conversation overall about just everything that's happening in the industry. And, so I recorded it. This is from the event GamesBeat Summit 2022 that took place here in Beverly Hilton, here in Los Angeles, and great conversation. And I'm going to play here on Gamertag Radio. So it's a very long conversation. It's like a good 45 minutes or so. So please let me know your thoughts about it. And look, it was all because I had him on a podcast. He enjoyed the conversation so much that he requested himself for me to be on, to get on stage with him, for GamesBeat Summit. So first of all, I want to say thank you to Reggie himself and also, the whole GamesBeat team for inviting me to be part of the keynote. It has been a dream come true. And also I hosted the event for 2 days too after that. So I haven't had any days off since I got married. So this episode is also scheduled because I just need some time to just relax, and it's been wild. This week has been very, very busy for me. You'll find out why. Besides GamesBeat, there's other things I've been working on. So everything just happened at the same time. So anyways, before I play the keynote, head over right now to gamertagradio.com. If this is your first time listening to the show, make sure to listen to the previous episodes. It's really, really awesome. We had a great interviews, reviews, great discussions and debate about all types of different topics of just things that's happening in the gaming industry. So make sure to check it out and share the content. Let people know about Gamertag Radio. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us, subscribe, or even post a review. That will help us out so, so much. But if you would like to be part of our family discussion, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786 2737GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go straight to the keynote with the former president of Nintendo of America, Reggie Fils-Aimé. Check it out. We'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio.
We're going to kick off our event today with a fireside chat. Please welcome the incredible Reggie Fils-Aimé, managing partner of Brentwood Growth Partners, who will be talking with Danny Pena, the founder of Gamertag Radio and the games editorial lead at G4. Have fun, guys.
Hello, everyone. So, Reggie, I had you on a podcast a year ago. A lot's been going on. The last conversation you mentioned about you were writing a book, and it's coming out finally next week. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. It's very exciting. Well, first, great to be with you. Great to be with this audience. So my book, Disrupting the Game from the Bronx to the Top of Nintendo, you know, it's a business memoir. And the thought of the book is to share a range of stories from my personal beginning, my business journey, my time with Nintendo, the overall arc, but to punctuate it with lessons and with principles that anyone can take and apply to their daily life, whether you're a student, whether you're executive. And the core thrust of this is that, you know, people look at executives and they see the work they've done out in the public and they say, ah, this is easy. You know, this person has had a fairly linear path to where they've been. But certainly for me, my path was nonlinear. A lot of different activities, a lot of different parts in my journey. So that's the book. That's the key insight. And I'm very excited to see how it does beginning next week.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited. I got to check out the audio version, too. I know you have bonus content there, too, right?
So, yeah, there's an audio book that I narrated. So for those of you who have missed the sound of my voice, you can hear that in the audio book. And we did over an hour of bonus content with Jeff Keighley. And, you know, Jeff and I have spent a lot of time in front of the camera together. We've spent a lot of time behind the camera together. So we highlight some of those stories as well. That's pure entertainment. There's really no lessons in that content, but it's really good.
Yeah. Now I got to start with the hard question. Is your body ready?
My body is always ready. You know, I'm sure like many of you in the audience, you know, during the time of COVID, unfortunately, I put on a few pounds. So now I can say my body is more than ready.
Good. Yeah, so I'm glad that now we're having in-person events. And also, one of the last conversations we had was about E3 last year, going digital. This year, there's no E3, canceled completely, right? So what are your thoughts about, like, events coming back and your thoughts also about E3 canceling
Look,
this year?
I think it's great that we're having events like this, that we're finally getting together, certainly in this industry. For as big as we are, right, $200 billion in revenue globally, it's a pretty tight industry. You know, you see people, you've got deep relationships, and so being able to get back together physically, to have that sidebar conversation, to talk about what's next and how this industry is moving forward, I think that's really positive. So I'm thrilled that we're getting together. I spoke at South by Southwest back in March, and the energy at that event really was palpable. And so I'm sure that that's going to be the case for other events moving forward. I didn't make it out to PAX East last week. But everything I've heard is that, again, the energy is coming back and the energy within the industry is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. E3.
Yes.
So E3 really has been on its own journey. You know, when I did my first E3 in 2004, it really was a situation where you're meeting with retailers, you're writing orders, you're getting ready for the holiday season. Mm-hmm. And it began to pivot more and more to a consumer content creator type of event. And in that current environment, it needs to be something different than certainly what it was at my last E3 in 2018. Mm-hmm. So as a global industry, it needs to have a global footprint. You know, I believe that the innovative platform holders are going to enable, you know, their fans across the world to interact with their content at the time and place of their choosing. Mm-hmm. And that's going to become how this industry continues to evolve. Like so many fans, you know, not having an E3 this year is a bit disappointing, but you know, certainly Jeff is going to have a great event with Summer Game Fest, mm-hmm. and it's just going to continue to evolve and to be something different. We'll see what happens in the future, but mm-hmm. certainly, you know, what was the old E3 needs to pivot to something completely different.
But now companies are actually having like their own digital showcase. I remember during the Wii U era, Nintendo was the first company that started doing digital showcase. And I remember during that time, a lot of the media were like, oh man, Nintendo's done. This is not good. Why not attending E3? So why digital showcase is still...
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the one. Why, yeah, so, why that is still important to continue to do that? Because
there's... From a platform holder or from a creator's perspective, mm-hmm. there are two parts in showcasing your activity. Mm-hmm. The first part is telling the stories, showing the visuals, getting people excited about the content in a visual format. And a digital showcase can certainly do that. During my time at Nintendo, we did that exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. But there's another part in getting people excited about the content, and that's the hands-on. And that, to me, is the piece that needs to continue moving forward. And the progressive companies will figure out how to do hands-on events at scale in a way to get their fans excited about the content, to showcase it to the media, and to really help paint a fuller picture as to what this game is going to be. And I think without that, you know, it becomes just a little bit more difficult as you prepare to launch the game without having had that hands-on. So I think you need both. You could do a digital event and get people excited on a global basis, but there needs to be a mechanism for hands-on.
Let's talk about failures. I know a couple of weeks back, you mentioned that it's important for leaders to mention not only the success, but also failure. I know you talked about that in your new book. Why is it important to talk about?
Yeah, the way we learn is by analyzing our failures mm-hmm. and applying those lessons moving forward. Mm-hmm. If all you do is have nothing but success, mm-hmm. you know, how do you pivot? How do you learn to reshape what didn't work and to apply it into the future? You know, and I talk about a couple failures in my book. The first is Wii U and the pivot to Switch. You know, Wii U globally sold less than 15 million units. I think the only Nintendo platform that sold fewer units was Virtual Boy. So certainly not a success. But what the company learned from that execution was that the consumer was really excited about the concept of playing a game on their big screen TV and then being able to play that same game on something in a handheld format. Mm-hmm. And that core insight led to the development of the Switch, where you could play both on your big TV, take it out of the dock, take the game with you. It would have been difficult, challenging not to get that core insight mm-hmm. without the failure that was Wii U. The other failure that I talk about in the book is the pricing decision for the Nintendo 3DS. You know, and this, you know, there were tough conversations, myself and Satoru Iwata, as to what the right price point needed to be. Mm-hmm. In the end, I wasn't successful in getting his alignment to a $199 price point. We launched at $249. Mm-hmm. At $249, all of the Nintendo fans bought their copy of that hardware. You know, 5-6 million people.
I was one of them.
But after that, the pace of momentum stopped. Mm-hmm. And it's because, given the pricing, given the lineup of software that was coming, it just wasn't able to reach beyond the Nintendo fan. Mm-hmm. So the company had to do a massive $90 price cut, bring it to $169, and then rebuild the business from there. So a really tough decision, but one, again, that the company learned from as we made the right decision on how to price the Nintendo Switch.
But also, it's also the messaging too, because there's companies that try to do new things and their messaging has always been bad. The consumers don't like that at all. So like, for example, when Xbox One came out, always online, that conversation, the messaging during that time from Xbox was really, really bad. But look, that's the way how we play games now, right? So is there any companies that you think that are doing the right way when it comes to like messaging when there's something new?
You know, I think there are a number of different companies that are messaging well. Mm-hmm. But even those companies have their own learning edge as to how to get people excited about the proposition that they're offering. You mentioned Xbox. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think Game Pass is a really innovative idea. Mm-hmm. The ability for a set subscription fee to sample a wide range of games, pretty exciting if you're a gamer. Mm-hmm. But yet, you know, the gaming audience and the gaming industry has been somewhat negative on that execution. And, you know, I think there's an opportunity to improve the messaging, to be clearer in what you're getting as part of that subscription. So, you know, there's an opportunity. I think, you know, on the Sony front, you know, I think they have to figure out, you know, one, how to increase their capacity for hardware, and second, how to message to the consumer that, you know, you're going to be able to get that hardware without having to go through scalpers or, you know, to be challenged in trying to get a piece of hardware online. I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's a pretty significant issue that they have to solve, and then they need to drive the proper communication for.
Yeah, I know that there has been reports of, I think, Xbox and other companies are trying to do a like ad network where they're adding now ads in free-to-play games. Now, I know it works pretty good for mobile. Is that something that's going to work for consoles? I just can't see it, but I want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in advertising or whether it's console games, free-to-play games, delivered through a console. I'm not sure the consumer is ready for that. Mm-hmm. But here's the other piece, right? If you're an advertiser on any platform, you expect to get data back. You expect to understand how many people you're reaching, who I'm reaching, to be able to tie that back to consumer purchase. Mm-hmm. And until the platform holders are ready to share that level of detail, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be very difficult to sell advertisers on the proposition.
Let's talk about Metaverse. I know that's been the conversation. Again, messaging. Why is it that every time we talk about Metaverse or anything when it comes to NFTs, crypto, et cetera, so the fans, consumers don't like it? Is it because of the messaging?
Yeah, first off, I'm old enough to remember that there are companies that would add .com to their name or to their proposition just to get people excited. Mm-hmm. People are doing that today with Metaverse. People are using the Metaverse term without a clear understanding of what it is and how it ties back to the business. Mm-hmm. So it's important first to define what do you mean by Metaverse. To me, Metaverse is digital, immersive, a place that has persistence in execution. There's a common currency. There's a wide range of different developers creating content for this. It could be VR or AR. I don't think that matters. But there are a number of key elements within the metaverse. Another one is that your avatar has value. You could customize it, and it has value. Mm-hmm. And that while it happens in a digital space, there are real, in real life elements to the experience. So, you know, I think that companies, as they pursue this, they need to explain it. They need to be clear in what it is. In many regards, elements of the metaverse exist today, right? Roblox has a lot of what I've just described. What Epic has done with Fortnite has a lot of those different elements. So I am bullish on my definition of the metaverse. I think it is something that's going to be interesting for the consumer. I went on record and said that I wasn't a fan of how Meta was thinking about it. And it's because they don't really have a history of innovation. They've been more of a fast follower and an acquirer than truly an innovator. And historically, they haven't partnered very well with other people. And I do believe the successful metaverse execution is going to be done by an entity that partners extremely well to bring in developers and to bring in a variety of different companies. So I'm bullish on metaverse. Mm-hmm. I'm bullish on NFTs. I'm bullish on Bitcoin applications. I'm bullish on all of these different elements, but it needs to be done thoughtfully. It needs to be done within the beginning of the creation of whatever content we're talking about, you know, games in particular. Mm-hmm. It can't be a bolt-on. It can't be just something you add to the experience. But I do believe these technologies can help deliver something unique, right? Mm-hmm. And the example I use, you know, I put hundreds of hours into Animal Crossing. Hundreds of hours. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing now. I've moved on to other things. I would love to be able to monetize in some way Reggie's Island, let someone else enjoy what I've created, take it to the next step. Mm-hmm. But you know, in order to do that, it really needs to be thought of and built on top of a blockchain type of platform in order to monetize that type of personal investment of my time.
So the news yesterday came out of Elon Musk acquiring Twitter. Your thoughts about that? Because for us in gaming, we use Twitter a lot to promote business, consumers, engage with them too. Do you think that's going to help us, or it's going to be more difficult for us to bring the consumers back? Because a lot of people are saying they're not going to use the social media because of him taking over the platform.
So I think we need to see how the platform evolves in his vision of taking Twitter private. I love the Mike Tyson line, and not just because he's been in the news, but I love the line of, you know, everyone has a plan until you get hit in the mouth. So, you know, Elon has said he hates advertising. He hates the advertising on Twitter. Well, he's taking Twitter private for $44 billion. $5 billion a year is done in advertising on Twitter. That's a lot to forego after you've made that type of investment. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how much he hates advertising moving forward. He says he wants, you know, this completely unfettered platform for people to talk about whatever they want. Well, we'll see if the amount of hate speech and the amount of negative content increases on Twitter, and politicians leave and thought leaders leave, we'll see, you know, how well that plan works. So I think we all need to see exactly what the plan is. Certainly, I'll continue to be on it at Reggie, but you know, there'll be a time where if it doesn't make sense for me, I'll move on.
Go somewhere else.
You know, maybe I'll create my own platform.
Okay, go for it. Let's talk about Xbox acquiring Activision Blizzard. Last year was Bethesda. Is that good for gaming if Xbox still continue to acquire other studios?
And so let me broaden the question and just talk about M&A overall in the industry. The big announcements that were done, Take-Two and Zynga, yes. Sony and Bungie, Microsoft and Activision Blizzard, I think you have to look at each one and to understand potentially where value is being unlocked. So Take-Two and Zynga, you know, you look at all of the Take-Two franchises and you imagine if you could do great executions in mobile, wouldn't that be cool? Right? Red Dead Redemption done in a mobile experience that monetizes well, you know, that could be really interesting for that company. And they haven't had historically great experience on the mobile platform. Acquiring Zynga helps them do that. Mm-hmm. Sony, yeah. I would argue some of the best narrative single-player experiences are on the Sony platform. They have not really invested in live services. The purchase of Bungie helps them in that regard, so that could be great for gamers in terms of now having great live services, great multiplayer types of games coming from Sony Studios. Mm-hmm. The acquisition of Activision by Microsoft, first off, it was a brilliant financial play because Activision had been at $100 a share until all of the issues, their culture issues, came out. They dropped down to $50 a share, and I think the purchase price that Microsoft made is in the 60s in terms of a share price. So financially, that's a great move for them. How they ingest that company, what they do on the culture front, again, is all to be seen. I believe that there's going to continue to be M&A activity in this industry. I also believe that there will literally be hundreds, if not thousands, of skilled developers in these new combinations that raise their hand and say, you know what? I don't want to be part of this big monolithic organization. I've got a creative idea in the back of my head that I want to go do, and I'm going to go start my own studio. And so whether it's the higher-end indie studios, whether it's the, you know, AA type of studios that get created, I believe that there's going to be an exodus of developers coming from these mergers and acquisitions, and it's going to fuel a next round of really novel, different, creative ideas in the space. So maybe I'm an optimist. But I do believe, and I've talked to a lot of developers from these various companies, that they're waiting till the deal is done, and they're looking to go off and pursue their own journey with their own creative ideas.
Let's talk about handhelds. I want to ask you about Steam Deck and also this right here, Playdate, which I know we talked about earlier. What'd you think? Because now a lot of companies are bringing back like handhelds and.
So I think this is a novelty. Mm-hmm. What they're doing today by constantly releasing content, I do think is driving engagement. Mm-hmm. But the business model to do that, especially a game that's going to play well in this monochromatic format, I think is really challenging. So I see that platform as a bit of a gimmick versus a long-term platform. Mm-hmm. Steam Deck, I think, is really interesting. I think today it's a little overpriced for what it is. But again, the concept of being able to play a PC game through Steam on a handheld, mm-hmm. There's a proposition there. They need to continue tuning the device. They need to figure out how to manage the cost so that the pricing, I think, makes it more of a mainstream gamer type of device. But there's a path for them to create something that could be quite compelling in the handheld space.
Mm-hmm. Another one, entertainment trends. A lot of studios are now getting involved and making content based on games, TV shows, movies, and it looks like it's going to get bigger and bigger. Sonic, number one movie when it came out, right? Your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So as a content creator, taking your content to different platforms is tremendously exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think versus maybe 10 years ago, current creators on the video side, I think, are doing a much better job partnering with the IP holder to create content that on one hand is true to the IP and true to the fan base, but is novel and interesting and takes the journey elsewhere. You look at what The Witcher did, I think is exceptionally well done. I see this as a continuing opportunity for IP holders. I see this as something that can be done exceptionally well. But the key is that the story has to move forward versus just retelling, you know, what I've played in a video game. I don't think that's going to be compelling by itself. But there's a lot of opportunity here. And it doesn't have to be for only the big intellectual property out there. I think there's a variety of smaller IPs that could do things that are really interesting. You know, recently the announcement, the team at Exploding Kittens, mm-hmm. doing a deal with Netflix. So Exploding Kittens, popular card game, really interesting IP. What they're doing is, you know, not retelling the Exploding Kittens game. They're taking the art and the style into a completely different story. I think that's an example of the way to do this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, let's talk about our sponsor, Bud Light Next. We're very proud to be sponsored by Zero Carbs Bud Light Next. If you haven't tried it out yet, it's super crisp with unexpected amount of flavor for being zero carbs. Make sure to check it out. Plus, this is a perfect drink for the summer. We're getting ready for not E3, but all the summer game fests and all these gaming showcases are going to happen. You have this drink on the side while you're watching all the press conferences. You know what I'm saying? So, plus, we're excited about all these games coming out. Plus, they shared an exciting announcement last week celebrating Earth Day that they're certified climate neutral and have an ambition to be net zero in the future. Plus, in a partnership with Climate Neutral, they are also measuring and offsetting last year's carbon emissions and implementing reduction plans for future emissions through partnerships with organizations focused on reforestation. As a barrier break brand, they're taking bold action just like consumers to make a future better for generation to come. In honor of this milestone, they're also working with leading esports partners, League of Legends Championship Series, to offset 100% of the electric used their spring finals this month with clean, renewable resources from wind power. Now, guys, check it out right now to learn more about Bud Light Next climate neutral certification and how you can reduce your carbon footprint. Head over right now to budlight.com/net zero future. That's budlight.com/net zero future. We want to thank Bud Light Next for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
theme parks, Nintendo also, that getting involved with that. I'm excited. So I know it launched in Japan. It's coming out here soon. What do you think about that, of getting theme parks for games soon?
You know, the thought process, at least from the Nintendo perspective, is, again, they have all of this great intellectual property. Their vision is that, you know, whether you're an adult fan or a kid, their vision is, you know, you're waking up out of your Super Mario pajamas, you're slipping on your Legend of Zelda slippers, mm-hmm. you're getting ready, going to eat your breakfast with the latest Kirby cereal. You're going off to school or work playing a game on the latest Switch. Later that evening, you're making plans to go watch the Super Mario movie, and then you're making plans to go visit the theme park. I mean, that's the vision, right? How do we touch the consumer in a variety of different ways, with a variety of different experiences, with their favorite franchises, and you know, build the connection with the fan, and also monetize that in a variety of different ways. And given their range of intellectual property, it's a strategy that makes sense. I don't think every company can do that. I don't know that I look forward to a ride based on some mid-tier intellectual property, but for the highest order IP, taking it to a variety of different formats is a great way to monetize that content.
One other conversation that we brought up in our podcast with you was diversity in our industry, representation, right? And I know you asked a lot of, we talked about helping and giving back and trying to see we could get more people involved into the industry. So what are the things that you're working on to make that change?
You know, so I'm heavily involved in education activity. Mm-hmm. I'm involved in that for the state of Washington, where I continue to reside. I'm involved in that with the Bronx and the underserved youth in that community. Mm-hmm. I'm involved in education activities with Cornell University, where I went to school. Each of these is different because the needs are different. So just as an example, in the state of Washington, research has been done that over the next 7 years, there's going to be over 350,000 jobs created by the likes of Amazon and Nintendo and Microsoft, jobs created in the state that will go unfilled because the pipeline of students going through STEM and STEAM-related coursework, the pipeline isn't robust enough. So it starts with middle school, then high school, then college curriculums that are going to feed that pipeline in order to fill these jobs. So it really starts at the most grassroots level. The work that I do in the Bronx is really investing time with young people, telling them, you know, I am you 60 years ago, you can be me. Mm-hmm. As long as you focus on your education, as long as you challenge yourself and look for opportunities to make yourself better in whatever areas are important to you. At Cornell, I've lectured and spent time, but to me, the way to address a lack of diversity, and there is a significant lack of diversity in our industry, the way to attack it is really at every level, in terms of first making sure the robust pipeline is there, and then secondly, you have to hold leadership accountable. At Nintendo, when I would be part of an interview panel for a senior leadership role, I would always ask to see the pool of candidates and, you know, how far we cast the net. Mm-hmm. Because it's amazing, if you don't push this as an agenda, you end up having hiring managers hiring people that look like them, that have the same backgrounds, the same perspectives, and it's because we're comfortable with people who are like ourselves. So you have to actively challenge it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you just don't make progress in getting as broad a group as possible participating in the conversation, participating in the discussion. And I've learned through my business career that you get better decisions by having more diverse points of view, whether it's based on personal learnings or education, experience. That diversity leads to a better solution.
But those kids that you talk to in the Bronx, a lot of them before getting involved with you and Herald in New York, a lot of them feel lost. They don't know what to do, where to go. What is the best way for us as an industry to give back and start having that conversation to get them involved in our industry?
I think this has to be pushed on two vectors. First, at the corporate level, there needs to be a priority to do this. And, you know, kudos to my friends Phil Spencer at Microsoft. They're doing it. We're having active conversations with them in terms of how they can do more. But it has to start there in terms of some corporate resources being put to bear to help pull forward that generation of diverse thinkers and diverse perspectives. And then the other challenge I would put out is to every individual here in the room, right? We all live in our various communities. We all have a lot to do. But finding the opportunity to go to your local high school and your personal community, to spend time at the local junior college, to spend time at your own alma maters where you graduated from, and to put out that hand to help the next group of potential leaders within our industry move forward, you know, I think it's our collective responsibility.
How the Bronx helped you to go on top, to become a president of Nintendo of America?
You know, for me, beginning my life in an area that still today is one of the highest poverty counties in the United States, highest level of poverty, highest level of food insecurity by young people, mm-hmm. still today. So it helped me develop a level of resiliency, level of grit, a mentality that, you know, if I were to progress, it was on my shoulders to push that forward. I think it created a level of fearlessness. You know, for this young black man with no experience in gaming to be having tough conversations with Shigeru Miyamoto over a game, to be having tough conversations with Satoru Iwata over some strategic decisions, it gave me a level of fearlessness to push for what I believed was the right path, and to believe that I could convince any of them to push forward on these various journeys and various paths. So that's the foundation of the things that I learned from my first 8 years in life at a tenement in the Bronx, New York.
And what's going to be next for you now that your book is coming out next week? Any other projects or anything you're looking forward to?
You know, I've got a number of things going on. So I sit on the board of three public companies. One of them is a special purpose acquisition corporation. So we're looking to make an acquisition in the broad gaming space, and in so doing, take a currently private company into the public markets. That's been a fantastic process in terms of meeting young creators, you know, people who are on their own journey to create something wonderful. Mm-hmm. So that's a key piece of my time. The other two public companies are in the broad leisure space. One's a toy company. The other one is the leader in the marine industry. I'll continue to do public speaking. I'll continue to do activity with Cornell. My passion right now is to empower that next generation of leaders to help them, you know, do the next great thing, whether that's in the gaming industry, whether that's in the broader entertainment industry, or whether it's something completely unrelated, but you know, where an individual is following their path and following their journey.
Well, Virgil, we're going to wrap it up. I just want to say thank you to you and Dean and the whole Gainsby team for giving me this opportunity to talk to him. It's been an honor, man.
So, thank you.
Thanks. All right, everyone.
All right, so that was the conversation with Reggie Fils-Aimé, all about different topics that's been happening, you know, in the gaming industry. We talked about entertainment, you know, video streaming services now, creating original content based on games, movies. We talked about, you know, NFTs, metaverse, crypto. Just wanted to get like his opinions about that overall. I showed him my playdate, and we talked about Steam Deck. Lots of great conversation. Also, how the Bronx helped him to get on top, man. Now with all the jobs I've been having, plus, you know, before he retired with Nintendo of America, man, being president, that's amazing. So great conversation overall. Please let me know your thoughts about this podcast. If you have an opportunity, hit me up. Please feel free to hit me up on Twitter. And you could also contact me on Discord. I'm always there too. But I just want to hear your thoughts about everything. But remember, guys, May 3rd, Reggie, his new book, Disrupting the Game, is coming out May 3rd. Make sure to buy it. It's a great, great book. I already have an advanced copy. Go ahead and support, man. We need more support, you know, for these type of content and stuff. So, I'm going to wrap it up here. Thanks. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. I'll be back next week with more content. We're going to have the crew back. We'll see. It's been kind of crazy, the schedule for everyone, but don't worry. We'll be back. All right? Thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.